Wow, yours is pretty complex. Maybe you should start.
Well, I had two dreams. I'll read them in order. I'll read the one that I had first. All right. So I've arrived back in Australia. So from
Australia.
From here in Barcelona, and I'm walking back to my house. So, you know, I've got off at the airport. I've caught the car or something, or the train or something, to some point, but now I'm starting to walk to the house.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm walking back to my house in Glen Waverley. So this is my house
when
I was a kid. I dream about that a lot, actually.
Freud would say that's pretty common.
But I'm walking down my street to my house. I'm on my street. I'm on Orish Avenue now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm walking down it from the non-Springvale roadside.
Oh.
So it doesn't really make sense that why would I be coming down, if I'm coming from very, really far away, for me to be walking down from this way of the road, because it's not from any major road. It doesn't really make sense for me to be getting to the house this way.
Not familiar with the map, but I trust you.
Okay. Well, it's the wrong way to be walking down the street if I'm coming from somewhere very far away. So this doesn't really make sense to me, but anyway, I'm also screaming really loudly, like I'm walking going, like this. And to me, I'm screaming because I'm so happy to be back in Australia. This is the reasoning for this weird screaming, but it was constant, and I was like one of those, the little clown things that you put in with the balls, and I was like this. And Stephanie's with me. So she's helping me walk back.
Did she have a gun?
No, she's just in her regular clothes. She wasn't in her work clothes or anything. But she told me to be quiet because there's cyclists behind us. And so, you know, after a few moments, the cyclists finally pass by and they sort of give a bit of a look to both of us, but especially to me. But they don't say anything.
Are you still yelling?
No, by this day, because when Stephanie said to be quiet, I stopped.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was just being happy on the inside. So by this stage, we're about 200 metres away from the house. And so maybe about the next 100 metres, we come across something else sort of happens. So screaming was back then, now we come across this other thing. And I see all these ferrets and geese.
Ferrets and geese.
And there was maybe 10 of each, so 10 ferrets, 10 geese. And the geese were all in one big cage, and the ferrets were surrounding them. So the geese were in the cage, the ferrets were not in the cage, they were sort of outside. But it wasn't like they were surrounding them, like they were going to move in. They were just sort of hovering around the outside of this cage. And this was on this nature strip on the side of the road, on the right-hand side, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the geese kept on grabbing and squashing the ferrets' heads with their beaks and trying to pull them in through the cage bars. But it didn't work. And they had sort of like a baby's head, the ferrets, like it was squishy and malleable, but it wasn't like they were being killed or anything, but they kept on grabbing them with their beaks and trying to pull them through, but they couldn't. And so I looked at that for a few moments, but then I kept on moving on. And then I finally at home, and I say hi to my parents and everything like that, but I go to bed very quickly. So I head to my room and I go to sleep, but I can't fall asleep. So I put on that Silverchair song, Freak, which I really liked when it first came out. So this was probably about grade 5 or grade 6 or something. And so I'm listening to this while I'm in bed. My mum walks in and realises I'm still asleep.
Still awake?
No, I wrote asleep here.
But you're listening to your Freak album.
Yeah, but I think she thought, because I was in my bed and my eyes were closed or something, I was trying to get to sleep, I was listening to the thing. I think she thought I was asleep. I should probably say not still asleep. And then she says something really important here, but I can't remember what it was, because I wrote down this dream as notes on my computer when I woke up and remembered it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I don't need to write that last bit because it's so memorable, I won't forget it. So I didn't. So I can't remember what my mum said, the last thing.
Wow.
So that was the first one. The second one. It was an end-of-year garage sale at a giant warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it was clear that both you and I worked at this warehouse during the year.
Mm-hmm. Might need to pay off my European travel debt.
Along with hundreds of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the end-of-year cleanup type thing, and lots of things were going to be sold. So you could imagine, like, this giant warehouse, it was filled with junk, and everybody was just sort of rummaging around, moving things, people
like grad show at BCA.
Yeah, but more chaotic, more chaotic. And Alana also worked there.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if other people we knew worked there as well. But eventually you came across a folded bedsheet under a pile of junk. But the interesting thing about this bedsheet is it had an imprint of two human bodies on it. And it was a bit like the Shroud of Turin type of imprint in that sort of style. But you knew that this was actually an imprint of Alana having sex with
Devin.
Oprah Winfrey. And Oprah was on top because there was this sort of big blob on top,
of
the imprint. Yeah, you could only see a bit of Alana, like a bit of Alana's legs off to the side.
But how did you feel about that?
I wasn't too distressed because you'll find out why in a moment. So at this point, I sort of clicked that maybe this was actually something to do with a production for a TV show, maybe Oprah's TV show, because I once saw a documentary on her new stage set, and that was just like people everywhere, and they've got props for everything and all this kind of stuff. So as you're sort of looking at this thing with these two imprints, Oprah Winfrey herself walks past, and she's really distressed that you have this. And she doesn't want it getting out that she's actually a lesbian.
With Alana.
Yeah. And so, what was it? Okay, so the all-knowing storytelling part knew that that this was a bedsheet of Oprah and Alana having sex, but like sort of like the storytelling part in the narrative or whatever. But me in the dream, me as the character in the dream, I didn't know this.
Even though I just told you it.
No, you hadn't told me. You hadn't told me.
Oh.
Yeah, you knew that this was.
I knew, but I hadn't told you.
No, yeah, you didn't. You didn't tell me.
Okay.
I was sort of a little bit off to the side, but you and Oprah definitely knew, and Oprah just found out, and she was really, really distressed. And Alana sort of knew as well, but she was off in the distance as well. I think she was watching and she could see what was happening.
I reckon she'd remember that sex with Oprah.
Now, and then something sort of happened, but you ended up giving me the bed sheets and I ended up putting them in the bin chute. So I went down really, really far on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I didn't really know about any of this. So that's why I put it away. And that was the story.
Wow.
Yep. And what do I have? A Band-Aid. Okay. Well, there was so much material. That I'd be thinking, I think I'd be stretched to be able to find a Band-Aid. Well, I had going back to the old house, Australia, screaming, cyclists, ferrets and geese, listening to Silverchair. My mum says something, but I can't remember what she says. Can't see that much for a Band-Aid,
mm-mm,
like the literal thing of a Band-Aid in that. And at the garage sale, there's lots of junk, came across the bed sheets. There was the Shroud of Turin. Sexy Turin of Alana and Oprah, with Oprah on top. No.
No.
I don't think so.
Maybe you were just too busy having amazing dreams to...
Yeah.
Let the Band-Aid sneak up through.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. No.
I really enjoyed the Oprah and Alana dream.
Actually, I remember there was another interesting thing about this, is that I actually had a dream before this. And I was...
It was about a Band-Aid.
No. I keep imagining myself like I've gotten up and I'm starting to write it down, but I haven't really. I'm still in the dream. And I remember I wanted to do that, and somehow that dream of me writing it down morphed into this dream. And it's only when it sort of got to the end I realised, hey, I've had that dream. And it was because I thought I had woken up and I was having the other dream. Okay. Well, that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
This dream was epic, but I can only remember the tiniest bit of it.
Yeah.
And I'm back at high school, but it's my first day at this new school. And I'm got my, like, timetable, and the next class is art class. But I can't find where it is, and I ask the headmistress, and she says, oh, it's up the hill there in the old abandoned church. I was like, okay. But I was smoking. I kept smoking in the, like, just as I was talking to her, she's like, you can't smoke here. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And so I put my cigarette out. And then I just forget and keep smoking cigarettes. And I was also very anxious because I didn't want them to know that I was also just about to finish my PhD because I was only in year 12.
Mm.
It was quite complicated.
Mm.
So I kept forgetting I was a teenager as well. Mm. So it's quite complicated.
Yeah.
And so I went up to the art class up on the hill in the abandoned church. And everyone was making these huge sculptures of themselves. Most people were doing ones which were a bit like Mark Mander's work or Urs Fischer, sort of quite figurative, but a bit slumped.
Mm.
But there was this one I really loved, which was in brown resin. And it was sort of shaped like this. It was this huge sort of blobby.
Yep.
A bit, it was just beautiful. And it was sort of slightly...
It clearly looked like marshmallows to me.
Yeah.
And they're progressively getting smaller and sort of more squished or something as they go up.
It was beautiful. It was also a bit like a chess piece as well, like a pawn. But it was about 5 foot high.
Yep.
And a really beautiful sort of translucent brown resin.
Okay.
And that's sort of it that I can remember.
Mm.
But once again, I was in that hilly village that I go to in my dreams.
Unbelievable. Mm. It's got a whole story in it just by itself.
And that's it.
Okay.
And what did I get? Something quite thick. Oh, a picture of two little schoolgirls
mm-hmm.
walking across a school playground.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite nice.
Now, I also got this from Montserrat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, which is another hilly place again.
It's a church up on a hill.
Ah, there you go.
Up on a very big hill. So it's two schoolgirls.
On a big hill.
This to me looks like they're sort of... It's taken from a weird perspective. It looks like they're walking up somewhere.
And that blobby thing there, that shadow looks at... quite a lot like the blob I've drawn.
That's quite uncanny, that whole line.
Mm.
I think there's a lot in that.
Mm. Maybe that's why I only remembered that bit of it, because it was... I wonder if they're smoking. No.
Yeah, it's very hard to tell.
Well, that was quite a...
Yeah.
Quite good.
Yeah, very good.
Okay.
All right.